I forgot to do something, and it's very important that we do it. Everybody just please stand up, turn around, and wave. Do not touch each other. Stand up, turn around, and wave. That's almost friendly. Thank you all. God bless you. In our day and age, you will hear everyone telling you why that they don't believe in heaven and they don't believe in Jesus. Well, one of the big reasons they say is that the reason I don't believe the New Testament about Jesus is that that simply means that Jesus hadn't come yet, so everybody in the Old Testament went to hell. No, it doesn't. Folks, I want you to know something about our Creator. God created all that exists. There is nothing in existence that God did not create. And from the beginning of creation, it had always been about the blood. It's always been about the blood. Well, good gracious, and Cain killed Abel. God comes down, where's your brother Cain? Am I my brother's keeper? We're still yelling that stuff out. Yeah, I am. I'm my brother's keeper. I'm there to help my brother. I'm there to straighten my brother out if I can. You are there to say, I'm your brother. You straighten me out. You love me in the process of it. But do you know what God says to Cain? Cain, your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Power in that blood, wasn't there? That was God's blood running through the veins of his created. You and I are the created of God. We are the most blessed of all of his creation. There's nothing he created more important than you. Let me say that again. There's nothing that he created more important than you. Jesus did not come to die for the tree. Jesus did not come to die for the mountaintops. He did not come to die for the beauty of all of space. Jesus came to die for you, for me, for whosoever will to be saved. That's called love, ultimate love. Whosoever will, let him come. No reservations. God said, I want you to come. And when you come, I want you to come to worship. I want you to come to give thanks. I want you to come and receive my peace. God has always wanted us to have peace. Why don't we have it? Then we'll ask yourself that one. Think of this. When you're seeking that peace on the inside of you, have you noticed how your mind, your human thinking process gets in your way? Well, God can't do that. Well, God can't do this. Well, God, listen, let me tell you something. I serve a God who can do anything. I put no restrictions on God. I do not say, well, God didn't know that was going to happen. Don't say that. Especially around me, you scare me. God can do and has done anything and everything. And because you're a child of God, he will bless your life. It has always been about the blood. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. That's old English term used, no forgiveness. There's no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Well, no wonder when God thought that up. It had always been that way. Before time was time, before anything, God had set in motion His plan for you. Because see, we're the family of God. We sing it. We need to act like it. We're the children of the King.
Hallelujah.
We happen to be the ones that God has touched with His mighty hand, His wonderful, awesome Spirit, and said to you and said to me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Wherever you are, I will be. The problems of your life are my problems. The touch that the world touches you with will receive my mighty touch because of the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. God said, I'm sending my Son. Every Old Testament believer believed in the coming Messiah. They believed in the Messiah to come. And that Messiah was going to shed the blood. The Old Testament is loaded with it. Throughout the Scripture, there are 447 times, it's according to the translation, 447 times the blood is mentioned, representing your salvation. I don't care how intelligent you are. Well, I do care. If you're a doctor or a nurse, I want you to really be super smart. You know what I mean. It won't get you to heaven. Your intellect will not get you to heaven. You can't overthink God. You can't think you know everything. Do you ever meet someone like that? Satan's one. Satan thought that he knew everything. If he didn't think that, he would not have put the plan of the cross for Jesus in motion. He just didn't know. He was messing with the child of God when he started messing with you. When he tempts you, he focuses his hate on Jesus. No, okay, let me do it this way. I've seen it because I was dealt with politicians my whole career. And I know what that can do to the family. When you take a stand, they can't touch you, but they can sure hurt your family. I witnessed it. I saw it. Because when you stand for what you believe God has called you to stand for, then all hell's going to come against you. But if they can't get you, who they're going after? The one you love so dear. Now, let me say this to you, parent. They do fine when they attack you. Some of us. They can get by with that in a lot of situations. But when they start messing with your kid, something changes in you, doesn't it? That's a gift that God has given you. That's a feeling, an emotion there that God reminds you of. You're feeling just a little bit about what he feels when Satan messes with you. And God comes down. And he says to all of the human race, I am sending my Son, for I so love the world. I'm giving my only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He says, this is the way it is. When you grow up, you got kids, you got grandkids. Everyone has a protective mechanism nowadays. I don't remember having one when I was a child. You got your blanket, you got your geegies, you got your binkies, you got your stuffed animals. You got the something out there Only thing I remember ever relating back to home or relating back to the United States was that when I went in the Marine Corps, I had a bull of a watch. Oh, it wasn't expensive. Well, I guess it was $10 or $15. Anyway, it was, you know, one of those kind of watches. I had it. But I remember, you know, I would relate to that watch. I heard it ticking before I left Kentucky. In Vietnam, I listened to it. It didn't survive Vietnam, but in Vietnam, you know, I had listened to it, and it reminded me of home. You know those trusty blankets, those trusty type of stuffed animals? That you know what those represent? Those represent the arms of a loving parent, the protection of a daddy, of a mama, of someone, you know, when I have this around me, I feel comfortable. Well, God said, I want you to feel something. I want you to know something. I am sending my son, and my son is going to give his blood. Now, I get excited over my blood transfusion when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, that I have the blood of Christ as a Christian. But you know, only this week did I get this revelation for myself. You all may have thought of it many times over. I saw something in that. Yeah, I got the blood transfusion. But I also got the blanket. It's the blood of Christ. It is my blanket that covers me, that I cover up with, that I cover my head with to keep the bad guys out, the bad dreams away. I pull the blanket of Christ's blood up over my head and I'm at peace. People say that sounds sort of foolish. It's the foolish things in the world to confound the wise of this world. Let me tell you this one story, short. And when I was going through hostage negotiation training with the FBI, when I was going through that, there was a story, and I thought this was so awesome then. I thought it was sort of stupid then. But, you know, that was at the beginning of the hostage-taking period of time where they're going in, and you had the hostage-taker and the hostages, and it's taken over this bus. And it goes into on the bus, this guy, one guy is sitting there reading his paper. And this hostage taker points his handgun at the guy reading the paper and says, "Give me your money." And the guy reading the paper takes the newspaper and puts it in front of him and the gun. The guy moves the gun to the other side. The hostage taker, the guy with the newspaper, moves it. Newspaper in front of the gun. And that goes on for about a minute and a half. The hostage taker gets so frustrated, so angry, throws down his gun, walks off the bus. That newspaper, think of that. Do you not understand the power of the blood of Christ? Here's what Christ's blood did for us. It redeemed us. Redeemed to buy from slavery, slave to the world, slave to life. Jesus comes, he sheds his blood, and he said, "I'm buying you with this price. I'll give my blood for you. I'll take your punishment. I love you." 1 Peter 1:18-19. "For as much as ye therefore know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Well, I got so tired of hearing that. "Well, this is the way your granddaddy always did it. This is the way your uncle always did it." Well, is it scriptural? It doesn't matter. If it's scriptural or not, it's just a tradition of the family. It matters to me. And it did matter to me. I read the book. And I keep reading the book. And I found a whole lot in that book. Then things I were told were not the same. But your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Bought from slavery. Paul said, I'm a slave to Christ. My Lord has bought me. God loves you. He loves you to the point that He wants to be in you. He loves us to the point of that power in the blood is so great that it will supersede the power of your problem of the day, of your hurt or of your pain. I don't like pain. It's miserable. It pulls me down on a continual basis. Don't like it. I don't know many who do, yet there are some. But God looks at you and He says, you have my Son's blood in you. When you said yes to Jesus, you received the greatest security blanket that can ever be given you.
Amen.
And when the Lord gave you that blanket, He gave you that blanket for not just your physical being, but your soul, spirit, being, you. Oh, I'm going to preach next Sunday, Brother Randy. I'm going to tell you about the bodies, the three different bodies that God has prepared for you, just you, for that spirit of yours. So I know I'll be here Sunday because that's God's will. But He says, listen to me close, for I want you to hear me. I want you to see me. I want you to feel me. I want me, my spirit, to touch your life, to put my arms around you, a hug that I want to give. It's not from man. It's from me. It's not about the world. It's about my Father who sent me in it. I am your God. I am your Savior. I am your peace. I am your joy. I am all you will ever need. I am the great I am. When you feel my touch, feel my love. When you feel my arms, feel my strength. As the world comes after you, it came after my Son. As the world put my Son on that tree, they will put you because of me. You stand strong in the times ahead. I am your God. I am your bed. I'm the peace. I am your joy. Because you are my girl and my baby boy. When God looks at you, He sees His Son. When He sees your pain, He doesn't run. He will be there guiding the hands, directing your path, giving your strength so you can again laugh. The joy of life you don't understand. Because it all was made by the Master's hand. One day you will know the God of your life. Because He is the one who's fought all your strife. He brings peace to you and joy within. For because of that blood, He conquered sin. Your life can never be destroyed when you belong to me. That's a promise, God said, that I give to thee. It is you I care and love so dear, not the world, not all you fear. Listen well. Listen and hold on to what I give. For when I have put my hand, the peace, the joy in you will forever live. One day we'll leave this world, but we won't leave each other. One day we'll separate from this body, but this body contains no joy, but the spirit within. It's like being a little boy with excitement, with joy, with hope, with peace. It came from the blood. It came from the blood. The blood that came from the author of peace. Listen to him well. He is real. And he sent his son. He's with us still. As he fights for you, fights for me, he tells us the truth that we don't want to see. Sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we just don't understand. But I want you to know, you'll always be God's man. You'll be my girl from beginning, because there is no end. I am your God. You'll always win. You know what else it did for me? Gosh, it justified me. Now, justification, I've always said, was as though you'd never committed sin, but it goes deeper than that. I'm not going to use that anymore, because I know I've sinned. Not it is that I sinned, but God made sure that I would not be found guilty of that sin. I am declared righteous in the eyes of God. That's what justification means, declared righteous in the eyes of God. But there's nothing righteous in me. My salvation is not based on me. My salvation is based on the one who lives in me, who gives me life, who gives me breath. Listen, Romans 5:9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Christian, you can never feel the wrath of God. Listen to me. The wrath of God cannot touch you, because in you is the blood of Christ. Covering you is the blanket of the blood. It's your security blanket. Pull it up over your head. It's the blood of Christ. The 10 plagues of Egypt. Each of the 10 plagues of Egypt went against an Egyptian god. Do you hear me? It was the Egyptian god that they worship. All of these gods. Moses comes along. God says, okay, here are the plagues I'm sending. Each plague went against one of the gods they worshiped. Comes to the 10th plague. The 10th plague involved the death of the firstborn of Egypt. All who would be there, firstborn, shall die. All the other plagues had been issued, and they were horrible plagues that God had placed on them. And those plagues went as far as the land of Goshen. Remember, It was just like an invisible shield on the land. The flies, the frogs, the pestilence, all of the stuff. When it got to that part of the Goshen, the land of Goshen, that's where God's people lived, it stopped. The plague stopped. And God gave the warning, Exodus 12, 13. I want you to take the blood of a lamb, representing the Lamb of God to come. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to represent the Lamb of God. Take the blood of the Lamb, smear it over the doorpost. All the believers, smear the blood. Tell me you don't go to heaven in the Old Testament by the means of the blood of Christ. It's the only way you're ever going to get there. But he has always existed. Listen to the scripture. Exodus 12, 13. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Here's what I want you to do. Put the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. And as the death plague marches, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. No power can break the curtain of the blood of Christ that surrounds you. Plead the blood. Always plead the blood, for in the blood is the hope. All the blanket of security that will pull up over me. I can never get over the blood that I'm under, Brother Randy. I can't do it. It redeemed me, bought me from slavery, justified me, made me righteous in the presence of God. And finally, it's delivered me. That's why I do not fear what the world calls death. I got news for you, Christian. Come on, let me remind you of this. You're a Christian. You can't die. You will change from this body. I'll tell you about that next Sunday. But you can't die. You're going to be with me forever. Get over it. Love one another. Be at peace with one another. It delivered us. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him. Who's him? Satan. Evil, all the viciousness of life. They overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Not by knowledge. Not by what you know, but who you know. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives, even unto death. They loved not their lives, even unto death. Don't you see? Your life is in the hand of Christ, not you, not your enemy. You want peace? I invite you to know Jesus. I invite you to care. I invite you to love. I just invite you to plead the blood. And it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name, giving you thanks, dear Lord God, for life, for joy, for the peace that surpasses all understanding. Direct us now, Father, as we follow your will, your way, in your world, your universe, your life. We ask that blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. During our time of invitation, It's an opportunity that you will have to say yes to Jesus. When you know that he's touching you, just not by being convinced by another human being, but being under conviction by the power of Christ as a convicting blood, convicting love. He just reaches out his hands and says, I love you. And you know, I'm telling you folks, it's the hardest thing in the world to go to hell. And it's Hardin County, I remind you. You got a church on every corner. And you can even go to a dollar store before you go. A church. Jesus has offered himself to you in peace. Remember, as you go through this week, there's a path there that God's placed before you. All the people you meet on it, he intends for you to meet. As you walk down that path, I want you to look beside of it. That's the ditch of life. And if you'll look in that ditch of life, you'll see somebody down there hurting worse than you ever dreamed of hurting. If you'll reach your hand down in the ditch of life, you just might touch the hand of Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever you do as you go, don't you dare gossip. You go in love. You go in peace. You go in service to God. God bless you.